Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back in quarter number three of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Dustin Hockensmith, Greg Pickle. Looking at Penn State and 2019 season opener is just around the corner on Saturday. We're back here in the Labatt Blue studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. Finishing up our preview of the 2019 season. Saving specialists and special teams for last as we usually do, but it's one of the big issues to look at moving forward and see if there's some progress. Looking at, you know, two big things from 2019, Greg. Number one, the performance of the wide receivers wasn't good from week one, didn't get any better as the year went on.
Yep.
And number two, the performance of special teams and the coverage and the gaffes and the mistakes and the miscues and the missed blown assignments. You know, a lot of stuff went wrong on that front last year too. And the same deal from week one all the way through the bowl game against Kentucky. You know, you saw that rear its ugly head a whole bunch of times. So we've addressed Jared Parker and that wide receiver crew. We'll look at Joe Lurig and the special teams. Looking at, you know, Blake Gillikin and the punting crew, the place kicking, kickoff duties, return guys on the punt and kick front, who the candidates are. But just in general, this is, you know, maybe, not even maybe, this is Penn State's fastest, most athletic team under James Franklin. And you got to figure that's going to trickle down onto special teams too. How much improvement do you expect to see, whether it's from a talent standpoint or a communication and alignment standpoint under Joe Lurig? How much better do you think this group not only could be, but should be in 2019?
Yeah, you know, Dustin, I don't think it's outlandish or rude to say that they only have up to go, right? I mean, you know, Blake Gillikin was okay last year. I thought there were some inconsistencies too often for a guy who's just extremely talented. I really believe is could possibly want to be one of the best punters in the country. So I think I need a more consistent effort out of him. You know, kickoffs were always an adventure. More often than not, sometimes they went out of bounds. Sometimes big returns were allowed. The kick return game, you know, obviously had a big role in winning them the Appalachian State game, but that had more to do with KJ Hamler improvising, I think, than it did any sort of scheme or anything else. And then, you know, the coverage units were okay, but certainly not necessarily something to write home about. So, and field goals, you know, Jake Pinninger in his first season was, I would say, consistently inconsistent, especially about with anything over 40 yards. So, I think Joe Lurig brings a fresh new perspective in for this group. And I think, you know, James Franklin let Joe Moorhead basically be the head coach of the offense. And it was striking when he made that same, used that same phrase that called Joe Lurig the head coach of special teams. Joe Lurig's a blunt guy. Pretty straightforward. He likes to fly fish. He likes to be outside. Not that that has anything to do with him being straightforward, but just to give you kind of an idea who this guy is. And the one thing about him is he will, you know, basically tell you that you don't have to do anything special on special teams. You know, mostly everyone has the same formations, the same plan. Are there some tweaks here and there that you do? Yeah, certainly. Does everyone have a Micah Parsons or a KJ Hamler to return kicks? No. But it's mostly about execution and doing the fundamental things right. That, you can say that, of course, about all parts of the game, but it's more so on special teams. And he is going to install it the way he thinks it needs to be installed and make it, and expects his guys to go out and take care of business. Now, the good news is I think the most exciting part about the special teams this year is Jordan Stout, the Virginia Tech transfer kicker, kickoff specialist, could be in line for some field goal work. We'll see about that. But Dustin, you know how people say there's just a different sound when the ball comes off a guy's foot who can really kick? That is Stout to a T. I mean, the ball just sounds different when it hits his foot, and he should be expected to be among the country's leaders in touchbacks yet again, just like he was last year for the Hokies.
Yeah, and that's a whole nother component. And by the way, while we're talking about the kicking part of it, is there any Jordan Stout putting his hat in the ring on the place kicking duties, or is that Jake Pinninger all the way?
I think that Well, I think that if Pinneger can't... Well, here's the thing. I mean, Jordan Stout obviously can boom kickoffs. We've seen that. If you go on social media, you can find some videos of it. I mean, the guy has an extremely strong leg. I haven't seen him kick a field goal in practice yet, though. So I can't tell you with any degree of certainty whether he can kick field goals.
He just lines up and wails it.
I mean, if that's all you get out of the guy, but he kicks 95% touchbacks, that's worth a roster. That's worth multiple roster spots if you need it. So I think that you have to at least wonder if on these long kicks he doesn't get a chance. You know, if you are near the end of the half and you have a 55-yard field goal and Jake Pinneger you don't think can make it, do you just run Jordan Stout out there, give it a shot? I would be surprised if he doesn't at least get a shot at some things this year, but it seems like it's Jake Pinneger's job for now. We'll see when the depth chart comes out if anything changes with that, but for the most part, I would expect it's Pinneger's job to lose, but I think it'd be naive to assume that Stout isn't at the very least putting some pressure on him this year.
Well, and here was the thing last year with Pinneger is that, you know, consistently inconsistent is one way to put it. Also, you know, like his training wheels were still on, and it was pretty clear that they were still on. I don't think Penn State was ever really. What was the longest field goal he did? He attempt a mid 40s field goal? Maybe one or two of them.
That sounds right. Yeah,
he had.
You talk, and I'll look.
But otherwise, we were looking at 40 and in is where Penn State was comfortable with him getting out there and kicking. One of the issues last year was a low trajectory a lot of the time. You know,
yeah.
I don't think you put kick blocks on the kicker's shoulder all the time, but whenever you're kicking it 6 feet off the ground, like that kick's probably going to get blocked. So there, he's an interesting player. He's got upside for sure. He could be a very good kicker for the next 3 years for Penn State. That's what I expect to happen, but it'll be interesting to see if it doesn't go well in the early part of the year for him, if Penn State considers anything else.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you know, Joe Lurie's motto, and I don't know where you'll see this on game day, but I have to think that the Big Ten Network will find a way to showcase it. But, you know, I'm assuming some wristbands or maybe Joe Lurie's hat. I don't know. But something will have CTG on it, which he calls change the game. And, you know, is it a cliche thing? Yeah, of course. But the big, I think, difference you're going to find with this special teams group, and it doesn't matter if we're talking about kickoffs, kickers, return men, punters, whatever. If the people, the players put in those roles don't do something that Lurie believes changes the game, I don't think he's going to be unwilling to maybe look into alternatives and make sure that this unit is giving the team everything that it can, because, you know, ultimately there's so many, we talk about field position and things like that. Penn State didn't always get the benefit of field position last year, and it sometimes was because kickoffs went out of bounds. It's sometimes because coverage assignments were missed. It's sometimes because, you know, any number of things, you know, missed field goals that leave the ball at, you know, almost a 50-yard line. Things. I mean, it just, they need to have a more consistent, positive impact on the program this year. And I think Lurie's the guy to make sure they do it.
So just looking down some of the national ranks and some, and these are the ways that special teams just add up in sneaky ways. You knew that Penn State had some struggles. So number one, block kicks allowed, number 120 nationally with 5. Block punts allowed, number 107. Net punting, number 68 nationally. Kickoff return defense, number 84 nationally. Punt return defense, number 69. Punt returns, number 72. So you see in all these little ways where Penn State had some struggles. And by the way, you know, like some of these other, there were other inefficiencies that don't have anything to do with special teams that, you know, made you wonder how Penn State was as good as they were last year. There were just so many little things that Penn State wasn't doing well or wasn't doing right or was getting bad bounces or some combination of all those things and still put together a pretty competitive team last year. If, you know, special teams is a huge part of this, but if Penn State buckles it up in all these different areas, like looking at the number of fumbles that they lost, number 122 nationally lost 13 fumbles last year.
Some of these things you would expect to turn around just based on luck alone.
Luck alone. Yeah. Luck from one season to the next can change, even if you don't, you know, the way the ball bounces, you can suffer some bad luck as far as that goes. Maybe they did. But, you know, you look at all these different inefficiencies in Penn State's game last year, Maybe luck, maybe some improvements on the wide receiver front, special teams front can make up for some of these concerns that you have about quarterback or wide receiver or youth or what have you. There's a lot of different areas for improvement. I think for sure it starts on special teams. And this isn't even a matter so much. And some of these things have to do with, you know, your kickoff return guy, your punt return guy. But more than anything, it's about assignments. It's about staying in your lane. It's not about not being a hero. It's about being disciplined. It's about teaching the technique. If Joe Lohr can make strides there, you're going to see it show up in a lot of ways.
I think you just said the perfect phrase. So much of special teams is about not being the hero, not being the guy who tries to run 40 yards across the field to make a tackle. And it may work that time when you got out of your lane to go do something, but it probably won't over the long haul be something that is, over the long haul, probably not be something that is going to never bite you. So, you know, it's about being in the right place at the right time where you know, again, if Joe Lohr is correct, and I think that he is, that teams don't really change what they do from game to game, team to team, conference to conference, level to level, whatever, on special teams. And it's about who can do it better, who can do the same thing better. And if you can instill that in your guys, then you have a chance to do something really special on special teams. And I just have to think Penn State's trending that way. I could turn out to be wrong, but you just get a different vibe. You know how we talked about this during the receiver segment in this regard, and you can hear that, KeystonesportsNetwork.com. How's that for
good
a
plug?
Yeah,
good
thank plug. You. Joe, you get a different vibe from Jarrett Parker than you did from David Corley. And it's nothing against David Corley. It's nothing about Jarrett Parker, but you just get a different vibe, maybe a more confident vibe, maybe a more, a vibe that puts players in a better place of mind to go out and do things. And I think you get that from Joe Lohrig too. Just a certain confidence and way of doing things that I think strengthens the player from a mental standpoint, and that can only help on the field.
This is the Keystone Kickoff Show. I wanted to let you know our friends at the 409 Tailgate Club are opening a retail outlet, the Tailgate Corner at the Emporium in the Nittany Mall. All the great 409 products and other great barbecue products, tailgating games, and a lot more. Also, free barbecue and wine tastings Friday nights before each home game. That's the Tailgate Corner at the Emporium in the Nittany Mall. I know we didn't really get into return guys, Greg, but who are some of the guys on kickoffs especially? KJ Hamler is going to be a big factor in the return game, but who else can we realistically expect that to be the case?
Micah, for sure. You'll see him have a role probably as the second guy out there with KJ, I would assume. I think both of those guys will see plenty of opportunity. You know, they talked about the fact that it's sometimes hard to get Mike to understand that he's the number two and he's not really supposed to be the one out there catching the ball. But if teams decide to kick to him, he'll obviously have the athleticism and talent to do that. So you'll see him back there. I'm not going to be shocked to see Journey Brown back there. I won't be stunned if maybe Keaton Ellis gets some work. One of those cornerbacks is probably in that mix too. So KJ Hamler's your stud, but there are going to be some other guys mixed in as well.
And I think KJ Hamler on punt returns too. The more you can get the ball in his hands, the better off you are, including on special teams. All right, we got one more segment to go here on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Ask Greg, coming up after this.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today. 409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.